Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do you like to play interactive games? Nintendo says we have a new Wii for you. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is April 13, 2013. We are on day three of Newsworthy Clips. You can find them on pages 22 through 24 in your Advanced magazine. And it's been an interesting first couple of days. We have talked about Facebook helping some of their users find new work. And then we learned yesterday the impact that sugar has as far as being in your soft drinks and what it might do as far as affecting your weight, actually the weight of young people. We actually looked at some studies. And today we talk about Wii. I had mentioned at the top of the program, Nintendo has a new Wii for you. And we'll get into that just for a moment. Right now I want to welcome back my panelists. First, Naomi Beeshavel. Hi, Naomi.
Hi, Bill. So as you were saying, on the first day of Newsworthy this month, we talked about how Facebook is getting into the job market industry. And one of the words we used was speculate. When you speculate about something, then you're forming opinions, maybe not totally based on facts, kind of based on what you do know, but then looking ahead to something you're not sure about. Mm-hmm. So when we try to guess about trends and try to understand what might happen in the future, you have to speculate a little bit, especially if you're one of those people who likes to invest. Mm-hmm. It involves a lot of speculation.
Yeah. So you might be predicting, mm-hmm. trying to estimate something, trying to prognosticate the future, right? Well, it's kind of funny you'd mention that these analysts are speculating about Facebook. They have been speculating about Facebook for a couple of years now as far as how they're going to turn their huge database, their huge user base into money. So, and we're still not out of the woods yet on that and trying to figure out, okay, what's the best way to do it? How are they going to do it? So speculate, great word for people to use. Also here for day three, Josh Mooney. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Bill.
Okay. Just wanted to get from you maybe a word or two from one of our earlier articles.
Yes. On the 12th, we talked about soda's role in obesity, and we looked at a study where teens stopped drinking sugary drinks, and then they reverted to their old habits. And when you revert back to something, you go back and do something you used to do. And for some reason, it's almost always used around bad things, right? Do you ever revert back to good habits?
No, that's a good point.
Rarely.
Really, yeah. Most of the time it's like, oh, well, maybe if they quit drinking, oh, he reverted back to drinking. Or if they quit smoking and somebody starts smoking, oh, I reverted back. I'm back smoking cigarettes. It's always something bad.
Well, at least it's something that you would consider a step backward. For instance, if I say, well, I've been using a smartphone for a while, but I'm thinking of reverting to my regular cell phone. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's certainly a step backward.
Mm. Yeah. Facebook would think that's a bad thing.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. There's a lot of great words throughout Newsworthy Clips this month. We've got a full list of specialized terms and vocab focus, but there's also plenty of other words that are not bold printed, listeners. So make sure you've got your highlighter out or maybe a red pen to underline those words too, because especially the idioms we talk about throughout all of this. And there are some really good ones that we see throughout all 3 days that you can find helpful. I like the shot across its bow in day one in 22, page 22. And LinkedIn doesn't think Facebook, their job hunting app, was a shot across the bow. That's like a warning to somebody to wake them up.
Yeah, you said that that's a naval term. When a ship comes upon another ship and maybe it's encroaching on its waters or its territory, it fires a shot across the bow. Where's the bow of a ship?
Well, that's going to be the front of the ship. And actually, it is something that is still employed today. So, for instance, I think there are certain territorial waters around the world where countries might send ships into other areas where one country thinks, well, that's our space right there. Sometimes it happens, for instance, I think like in the between North and South Korea, sometimes they have disputes there, some border disputes as far as even stretching out to the water. And they actually will take their maybe large machine guns and fire bullets ahead of the boat. If the other boat is maybe crossing into their territory, that's a shot across the bow.
I always got confused about the bow being the front, the stern being the back, and then port and starboard are left and right. And it's so hard to remember because for some reason on ships you just use it totally differently from anywhere else.
Well, you've never been a sailor, have you? Not important for you right now. You just keep editing. You're doing a great job doing that. Don't worry about the ship stuff. So.
All right.
All right. Just stay right where you are. Listeners, let's get into our news clip for today. Turn to page 24, and we are going to be talking about Nintendo and their new Wii. Actually, it's a handheld device, and it's very interesting. So we're going to break it down into two readings today. So let's get started.
New trends in video gaming. Nintendo of America president Reggie Fils Aim isn't worried. Yes, sales of the Wii have tapered off. Yes, analysts doubt that its successor, the game machine tablet Wii U, will sell as well as the original. Yes, Facebook, mobile, and Xbox Kinect have poached Nintendo's audience of fitness-minded moms and kids. But Fils Aim has faith. To buy into a console, consumers need a very clear, understandable, and persuasive reason, he explains. We believe that's games. If he's wrong, Nintendo could be in trouble. If he's right, well, Nintendo may still be in trouble. Building a game console that only plays games is becoming a risky proposition. Wii U will include a controller with a touch-enabled screen, camera, and NFC. The Wii U's release won't just determine the fate of one of the most successful gaming companies ever. It will also shed light on whether traditional consoles have a future in an era of multifunction devices.
Well, it is just amazing, the gaming industry. And, you know, I think back to maybe even 20, 25 years ago, it existed. At that time, it was Pong and maybe some other games.
Do you remember the joystick?
Simple. Yeah. And Nintendo, of course, they were right there. They were at the genesis of the electronic game industry. But it is amazing how it has evolved. It's amazing that Nintendo is still around. Normally, in technology, these companies flare up and flame out.
And they almost did.
Yeah.
But the Wii was certainly a game changer in the industry.
Yeah.
Something involved you in a physical way that hadn't been done in a game system before.
That's fun, calling a game a game changer. Of course, a game changer is just something that changes the situation very dramatically. And so it's any event or any product that can just make everything go in a different direction.
Well, and Nintendo has done that over the course of their history. They've come up with something every once in a while. They have had a financial roller coaster, but they come up with something new every now and then, keeps them in the game. Now, new trends in video gaming is the title of this news clip. And how do we start?
Well, we meet Nintendo's president, Reggie Fils Aim. He's the Nintendo of America president. Of course, Nintendo is based in Japan, so they have a Japanese president. And the American president, Reggie Fils Aim, isn't worried. And what's not worrying him are the sales of the Wii device tapering off. And when something tapers off, it slowly declines.
Okay. Now, I kind of like the way we structure this.
I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I always like to talk about how things are written. And I think this is a wonderful way to start off this article. they explain, first of all, he isn't worried, but then they give us all the reasons why maybe we think he should be worried. So they're kind of saying, well, yes, it's true. As Josh just said, the sales have dropped. Yes, there are some other issues as well. And later you'll see the but. So the second issue that they bring up is analysts doubt that its successor, the game machine / tablet Wii U, will sell as well as the original. So the next generation of Wii device, people are a little worried. They think maybe it won't be quite as popular as the first one.
Okay. This yes, comma form is a way of like acknowledging things that exist. Yes, we are acknowledging certain things. So now that was those were the first two. What's the third yes?
Well, that Facebook Mobile and Xbox Kinect have poached Nintendo's audience of fitness-minded moms and kids, so that there's just a large group of competitors out there encroaching on Nintendo's territory.
Okay.
Now, it's like they're hunting them down and getting their money.
Yeah, we have used the term poachers before. Those are usually people that are illegally taking animals for certain skins and parts. So, but here we're saying poach. That means claiming a segment, part of their market segment, taking sales away from them.
So back to the way this paragraph was constructed, this is actually a device that you can use even in like persuasive writing or persuasive speaking. When you're trying to convince somebody about something, you can acknowledge the opposite point of view first. Mm-hmm. So you say, okay, we're not worried. Yes, I know we should be for this reason and this reason and this reason, but we have faith. Let me tell you why. It's actually a very strong way to present your argument because you're saying, oh, yes, I know there are reasons why people disagree with this, but I still think it's true.
That's Reggie Fils-Aime. He is the American president for Nintendo and has faith.
He does. He feels, as we learn there, he says that to buy into a console, and the Wii U is a handheld console, so it's a little different than the Xbox or the Wii, which is a machine, of course, you place in your living room and put games inside it. This is a little bit bigger version than their DS handheld and functions both as a tablet and as a game machine. And he says that to buy into a console, consumers need a very clear, understandable, and persuasive reason. And that reason for Fils-Aime are games.
Now, first off, to buy into something, is he talking about spending money?
Well, yes, actually, but that's not really what the phrase means. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. But if you buy into an idea, it means you accept it, you agree with it, you get on board. And so if he wants people to buy into a console, he doesn't just want them to purchase one. He wants them to agree that it's a great idea.
Okay. And it's got to be a persuasive reason. We believe that's games. Is he saying anything new?
No. I mean, Nintendo's always been about the games. He's saying that their characters like Super Mario and some of their bigger franchises are what's going to deliver the value regardless of the device that they're doing it through. Though the Wii U, I've held it and played with it in the store once or twice. It is a really unique gaming console.
Okay. Well, hopefully he's right, but
if he's wrong, Nintendo could be in trouble, of course, because this is their next big product, so he needs to be right about it for them to be successful. But they say, well, if he's right, well, Nintendo may still be in trouble. Even if he is correct and this is a terrific idea, Nintendo might not be in a great place right now.
Mm, okay, so even if it is, as Josh says, it's a great product. It's kind of cool. I looked at a video of it. I thought, this is really pretty cool. However, even if it is a great product, that still might not save Nintendo.
No. It's a risky proposition, we learned, because if it's only playing games, they're putting their eggs in one basket, per se. Uh-huh. They're not allowing for multi-functions. So it says Wii U will include a controller that has a touch-enabled screen, camera, and NFC, which is near-field communication. So it'll have some other benefits to it besides playing games, which, as we just said, is a risky proposition to only rely on gaming.
Right, because it sounds like this is almost like an iPad. I don't know if that's fair to say, but you know, that's something else where a lot of people use it for games a lot of the time. And it looks like it's kind of a similar size. Of course, different options, different graphics. I understand that part. But they're saying, well, if that's all it has to offer, will it really be enough for people to buy something new?
Mm, yeah, good question. Now, we see here in line 5 that the Wii U's release won't just determine the fate of one of the most successful gaming companies ever, but
it'll shed light on whether traditional gaming consoles have a future in this multifunctional world. So traditional gaming consoles like Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, Wii, they're not used for much else besides gaming. I think playing Blu-ray DVDs, maybe accessing the internet for a really connected owner or kid is something that's possible. But you don't think of using your PlayStation to call your mom
right.
in the States, right? That's
right.
not yeah. something you'd use it for.
But we are in an era of multifunction devices, as it said. And so that's what I mean when I bring up something like an iPad. This is something where it's a gaming console, but it's also something you can use to type a term paper if you want to. You know, there's so many options when it comes to this type of tablet device.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really need to figure out how they're going to be special enough to be something worth buying on their own.
Yeah. Now, okay, that term there, shed light on something, Naomi.
If you shed light on something, you are explaining it. You are illuminating it. So we always talk about being in the dark if we don't understand something. If you turn the light on, you shed light on it, suddenly you get it. You see what's really going on.
They've had a handheld gaming device I mentioned earlier, the DS, and they've had a lot of success with it. So I'm just concerned why they introduced another product to the market, another brand they had to introduce in the Wii U, and why not just make a tablet version of the DS?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't – you know, that's a good question. As I looked at that video of this Wii U and I thought, yeah, okay, that's pretty cool. It can do some neat things. But I think what they're trying to do is get the Wii users to then purchase another piece of equipment. And, it will tie them more in with Nintendo. But that's a tough leap for me because I'm thinking, okay, if you are a Wii user, maybe you're already satisfied. You might wrestle with, do I need to buy this? Do I need this extra piece of equipment? The improvement for me, the experience is improving. It's an incremental improvement. It's not a major leap in a way. It's cool, does some neat things, but is it a major leap? Gets back to what Naomi was talking about. These multi-functional devices, we may end up with an iPad or a tablet that just does everything eventually. That's probably what getting towards, migrating to,
mm-hmm.
that then somehow Apple or Samsung ties these things in with these games to where you only need that one thing that does everything. All right, let's continue with our reading.
From a cultural standpoint, games have never been bigger. Nielsen found that half of all American households have a console, and the amount of time spent playing games has increased 7% since last year. Blockbusters like Call of Duty still have billion-dollar releases, but games of that scale require years and cost millions to produce. Alex Seropian, a co-founder of Bungie, the studio that created the Xbox mega franchise Halo, sold his company to Microsoft in 2000. The $60 console game is going to disappear, he says. Poised to replace it is an ecosystem teeming with games of all sizes and prices. The future of gaming hardware may well come to look like the mobile phone industry, one or two market leaders, and a host of smaller competitors. That's what makes the Wii U a good barometer of the future of the console. We're about to learn just how much pull Mario still has.
Okay, Bill Quinn here with Naomi Beeshable and Josh Mooney. We're wrapping up Newsworthy Clips. We're on our final section here on page 24. We're talking about Nintendo and their new Wii U device, new trends in video gaming. And our second reading starts there on line 10 in the right column. And from a cultural standpoint?
Well, games have never been bigger. And this just gets to the economics of video gaming. They are at their all-time high in terms of the number of American and Asian households that have consoles and are spending time playing games. It's up 7% since last year.
Okay, that comes from Nielsen. Of course, that would be AC Nielsen, the rating company that does all sorts of surveys on a variety of industries. So, and they found that half of the American households have consoles.
Right, but that 7% up from last year that you just mentioned, Josh, that's incredible. I mean, that's a lot of growth in a time when I would think most people who had games had them and the ones who don't like them don't, you know. But it seems like more and more households are being won over by gaming.
Well, what's remarkable to me about that, too, is also in a sluggish economy, right. People mm-hmm. are cutting back on things. And there are a lot of industries that are shrinking or at least just stagnating. And this is something that has very healthy 7% growth. So you can see where people when it is an arbitrary decision, they're making that decision to buy games. They're spending their money mm-hmm. on this, and it's not essential. It's a luxury item.
And it also speaks to the stereotypical gamer is not the pimply-faced teen.
Right.
It's really a 35 to 50-year-old, mostly male, that's spending his hard-earned income on a $60 game.
Yeah. Okay. Now, some of these games have been highly successful.
Right. Usually when we hear a term like blockbuster, we think about a film. Mm-hmm. We know about blockbuster releases as films being released in the theaters and making a lot of money. But actually, games can be blockbusters as well. So, for example, Call of Duty, most of us have heard of that one. It actually had a billion-dollar releases. I mean, they're making a lot of money right away. Mm-hmm. When they first come out on the market, everyone is so excited to get those games.
Yeah, and several versions of that, right?
Yes. Call of Duty 3 last year mm-hmm. had the biggest opening of any movie ever. They yeah. sold $600 million worth of games in the first weekend.
Wow.
Now, we see here that games of that scale require years and cost millions to produce. However, I'm thinking about this. Their cost is going to be far lower than any Hollywood movie.
The costs are certainly high. They do cost millions. They take years to develop. But yes, the profits are incredible.
Yeah.
What happens is you have far fewer hits in gaming than you do in the movies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The movie industry supports a much broader number of franchises and huge billion-dollar movies. Video games, there are very few of these Call of Duty and Halo-type games that make the big money, and the other ones make very little. So it's bigger bets and then bigger home runs.
And, of course, the content in a game goes far beyond what most movies would have, because a movie's just, you know, it doesn't change. Mm-hmm. You just watch what's there, and when it's done, it's done. Games, you've got levels and secret entry points and all kinds of stuff going on, and effects and soundtracks. I mean, I've been amazed because I didn't really clue in much to the whole video gaming industry for about 10 years. So when I think back to being a kid and watching Nintendo, and then I see a friend playing now and I think, whoa, those graphics are incredible.
Yeah.
And the games are connected to the internet now, mm-hmm. and what you're hinting on other levels are now being added to games long after you've purchased them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's now these update packs that you can purchase. So your $60 initial investment is becoming a multi-hundred-dollar mm-hmm. investment over the
right.
life cycle of the game.
Okay. Now, we move on. We see here, we hear from Alex Seropian, a co-founder of Bungie, and that studio, they created what?
Halo, one of the biggest games of all time, brought a mega franchise. Naomi mentioned the word franchise. This is the idea of something in the entertainment world that is so big and makes so much money that it almost spawns its own economy of toys and spin-offs and TV shows. And Halo is one of the biggest mega franchises in all of gaming.
Well, you know, we talked about games and movies. Harry Potter would be considered a mega franchise, mm-hmm. or the Twilight movies would be the mega franchise.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, Alex Seropian, he sold his company to Microsoft in 2000. Lucky guy.
Well, yes, but I also think it's kind of interesting that he sold when he's got one of the biggest franchises. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he would want to hold on to that. But he's saying that the $60 console game is going to disappear.
Mm, okay, so he thinks it will disappear. What we're talking about, these things that Nintendo and the other manufacturers have come out with, these permanent games, the devices that sit there, they're going to disappear, he says. Poised to replace them is what?
These ecosystems teeming with games. So you think about these, the game channel on your cell phone or the games page on Facebook, where they're much less expensive. They take a lot less time to build and a lot less time to learn how to play. But I do like the word teeming. I think of a fish tank with tons of fish swimming around it. We would say it's teeming with fish.
Mm-hmm.
And these ecosystems, like mobile phones and social media, are teemings with free games.
Okay. All right. They're teeming with busy as a beehive. And we get back to that point again, what Naomi was talking about, a singular device in this next section.
Mm. So the future of gaming hardware may well come to look like the mobile phone industry, one or two market leaders, and a host of smaller competitors. So it's a bit different from how it was before, where there's a lot of big-ish players and they're all kind of competing together. Now we're thinking, it might just be one or two. And then, you know, the guys who provide the really smaller, low-cost type of games for your phone.
Yeah. All right. The specialized niches that they're working with. All right. Now, last paragraph.
It says that what makes the Wii U a good barometer of the future of the console. So this isn't a small company. This is a big one, making a very big bet on potentially a risky proposition that the traditional gaming environment is going to change. And this will be what we all can look at and gauge the future by, or the barometer.
Okay, we actually use a barometer to help predict the weather.
Well, that's a literal barometer, but in this case, it's anything that indicates the more not-so-literal climate of what's going on, the situation.
Okay. And what about this Mario guy?
We're about to learn just how much pull Mario still has. So how much influence that little character from the original Nintendo game still has.
Okay, Mario was the guy in Donkey Kong running around. So, and he's still there, kind of a caricature that represents Nintendo and their hopes and dreams.
Oh, and one of the best-selling games still in Nintendo. He is the world's most famous plumber.
All right, and that's a great way for us to finish. So, listeners, thanks for joining us here as Naomi serenades us off with some music. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill,
Josh,
and Naomi
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.